Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face, within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. 1 and 2 of 163.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, but first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, And when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So far, the reading of the Word of God. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who had a surgery this past week and who is very weak at home. Also, Mrs. DePuter, who continues to receive therapy, and also others who are weak. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, as we have read it out of thy word of truth, for we shall change, we shall pass away, and the earth also shall be wrapped up as a garment. But thou remainest, thou shalt endure, for thou art from everlasting to everlasting. And thou hast also created us, not as the beasts of the field, who shall perish, but we shall be changed. And it shall be as in the twinkling of the eye, in a moment. Then this mortal shall put on immortality, and we shall be changed. Lord, remember us. For we shall sleep a little while when we are laid in the dust of the earth, only to arise again and to be reunited unto our souls, created to live forever. O Lord, remember us as those who have a never-dying soul. Wilt thou impress this matter upon the heart of each and every one of us, could it be in this morning hour? For we have been born, and we shall die, but we shall live eternally. And then it will be that there are those who shall desire death, who shall desire extermination, annihilation, that they would no more exist for the suffering, for the agony in that pit of everlasting condemnation. Lord, we cannot, with our finite minds, comprehend what the evil of sin is and what that awful punishment shall be that is coming so certainly upon us when we are still remaining in that state that we have been born. And Lord, thou dost know it. We are dead in sins and in trespasses, and we need that our eyes would go open by thee, that these matters would be bound upon our souls, that we may begin to hasten for the sake of our life, that we may begin to flee for our life, while it is yet called today, and while thou yet callest unto us, turn ye from your evil ways. Oh, look on us then in this day, when we are separated for a little while in thy house of prayer, that thou would take this one or that one. Lord, could it be that thou would look on each and every one of us, for we are many, and we travel without care in this world by nature. Oh, unless thou dost come, unless thou dost stop us, unless thou dost say thus far and no further, we will go on in our carelessness, and we will continue to work out our own destruction. Oh, that thou would come from thy side this day, that thou would stretch forth thy mighty hand, that thou would speak with a word of power, that thou would send forth thy Holy Spirit, that thy word may be as an arrow shot forth from our side at a venture, but directed by thee to strike between the joints of the harness. Oh, that men, that women, that children, that old and young may be given to smite upon their breast and to cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, that thou may bind the sinfulness of sin upon our hearts. Oh, give to us eyes to behold something of thy holiness, of thy righteousness, of thy justice, that we cannot stand before thee when thou wouldst lay thy holy law before us. Oh, that we may no longer be able to rest until that we may be found in thee as thou revealest thyself and thy only begotten Son. Oh, look upon thy children. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember them when they are come to thy house of prayer in this day? For blessed is the man that thou callest and bringest near to thee, that he may dwell in thy house. Oh, he shall within thy temple be satisfied with grace and filled with all thy goodness of thy most holy place. And may it then be experienced by them in this morning hour, that thy word may go forth with power, with sweetness, that thy grace may be shed abroad in the hearts of them that have come to love thee. Oh, that the riddles also may be answered, that there may be comfort in the soul's afflictions, and that in the trials of the warfare of that true and saving faith, that there may be a little strengthening, and that the wiles of the prince of darkness, as he seeks to destroy, to touch the heel of thee, destroy thy church, all that they may be put away, and that thou would say also in this morning hour and in this day, If ye do seek me, let these go their way. Lord, wilt thou show to them thy blessed self, and wilt thou lead them in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Remember us then, and when we are gathered together in thy house, remember all that are not able to gather here, all the afflicted and the sick ones. We lay them before thee as the great physician, and who is able to take up the burdens that we are not able. We remember in a special way the child who has received surgery in this past week, and the sickness that is upon him, the weakness of the body, and all the afflictions which he must experience in his young life. Lord, could it please thee to help him even in these days, but altogether, for thou knowest the condition of his body and what continues to afflict him. Lord, give unto doctors, unto physicians, wisdom to know how to proceed also in his case. Help these parents, strengthen them, and could it please thee also to remember them together for the need of their souls, that it may be for an eternal blessing. And all the children that do suffer, that have difficulties for the body, which are known unto thee, Lord, supply for them and for their parents together. Our young people also, for thou knowest all that can come upon them in the days wherein we are living, how much evil and misery that sin has brought into this world, and that must be experienced also in the days of our youth. Oh, that thou may be near and dear unto them, and that thou may lead them, that they may experience that thou art the living God, and that they may be brought to know thee. Wilt thou remember those that receive treatments in the hospital, in nursing homes, and in care homes? Supply for each one of them also others that must receive surgeries and are under the doctor's care. Oh Lord, the fears, they can be so many. But wilt thou cause the eye to look up unto thee, and to receive from thee help from the sanctuary? Wilt thou look upon all thy servants, also those who may be laboring in our community in these days? Oh, we ask thee that thou may fill thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world with the unction of thy Holy Spirit, sending forth more servants into thy vineyard, blessing their labors for the coming of thy kingdom. Wilt thou look upon us also in this morning hour? Lord, help us, strengthen us for the body, and wilt thou help us in this morning? Oh, give to us a little opening that from our side we so miss. Oh, when thou shuttest, Lord, then no man can open. But when thou wilt open, then no man can shut. Oh, we ask it of thee, Lord, in this morning hour, that thou would open it a little, and that thou may have a reason, that thou may have a purpose for all that takes place in this morning hour. Also for this word which we do bring, all may it be for the instruction, for the comfort, for the conversion of this one or that one in our midst. Do keep us from all iniquity and sin, and forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy, but Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning for Thee. My troubled heart is burning. We make the following announcements. William Hank Arnold Dusen and Tina Rebecca Caparis hope to be united in holy matrimony on October 19 in a worship service led by myself at 11 o'clock a.m. in Lethbridge, NRC. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by October 9th. This is the second announcement. Catechism classes will begin on Sunday afternoon, October 14, and Monday evening, October 15, the Lord willing. More information will be placed in the church news next Sunday. The extra collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Lethbridge Seniors Morning is scheduled for Wednesday, October 10, at 10 o'clock a.m., led by Reverend DeLeo. And Reverend Vogelaar hopes to be in our midst this afternoon. Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. beloved congregation, we read in John 17 that the Lord Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal." Life eternal. What is that? We have, children, life temporal. We have temporal life. And what is the difference between temporal life and eternal life? You say, temporal life that is temporary, temporal life that is soon coming to an end. Oh, do you have an impression of this also when you are young? That is true, temporal life. But eternal life, you say, that is forever, that has no end. That is true. There is a great difference between temporal life and eternal life. But when the Lord Jesus says, "This is life eternal," then he does not only speak of the fact that this is that which has no end, because also eternal death has no end. And that also is very different than eternal life. This is life eternal. Thus, he speaks about more than what has no end. He speaks about what has a beginning, that is spiritual life, and spiritual life which has no end, that is life eternal. Or is that not something that we would all desire? Life eternal. Yes, no one wants to experience eternal death. But congregation, do we indeed desire life eternal? Because what is it? The Lord Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know." Thus, life eternal, that is knowledge. Knowledge. There is a saying, young people, ignorance is bliss. That is false. Ignorance is not bliss. Knowledge is bliss. This is life eternal, that they might know. And what is the object of that knowledge in life eternal? That is not the knowledge of this world. That is not the knowledge of science. That is not the knowledge of philosophy. That is not even the knowledge of religion. They all have their place. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." That is life eternal, that is consisting in the knowledge of God. And what kind of knowledge of God is this which makes up life eternal? Our confession class students, they do learn this. And in catechism, you learn it too, boys and girls. Our Heidelberg Catechism that speaks of that kind of knowledge that is necessary to know that misery, deliverance, and gratitude, that is a knowledge not of our mind, but that is a knowledge of experience. Thus, this life eternal, that they might know thee, that is the knowledge of the triune God, that is the knowledge of God by experience, that is to know Him in His communion, in His blessed communion, that we may be united unto Him. This is life eternal. Do you believe this? Is that not the longing of the church? The desire of God's true people? My heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even before His seat. I would order my cause before Him. My soul thirsteth after God, yea, after the living God. Oh, that is, that they may be united, that they may receive the blessed communion with Him. That is, now that knowledge that we have lost in paradise. Oh, that is the knowledge, the communion that we had in our creation when God did walk with Adam in the cool of the day. But we have lost it. We have fallen. And what does our fall consist of? You say, there is misery, there is sickness, there are thorns, there are thistles, there are... Yes, that is all our punishment, that is all our due. But what is now the misery of man consisting in congregation? That is, that we are without God in this world. Oh, is that also how you feel your misery to be? That you say, I miss life. I miss spiritual life. I miss life eternal. I miss the blessed communion with my Maker. This is life eternal. Do you believe this? Do you believe it is a wonder that it is possible that a man receives this knowledge again? After we have rebelled so in paradise against our Maker, that we have received our just due, that man may be brought again into that blessed communion? Or how do we know that this is possible? We know that congregation from the Lord Himself. We know that from the word of the Lord itself. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spake. And what did God speak of? He spoke of our creation. You read it, children, in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and how we were made in His image. God spake. And then He spoke about our fall. Genesis 3 already. Third chapter of the Bible. God spake. And then the rest. Yes, the rest of the Bible. Oh, you say, from Genesis to Revelation, what is it about, congregation? It is not concerning the creation alone and the fall alone, but concerning the redemption of man. Purpose of His word. If there were no redemption possible, that word was never necessary. The Lord needed never to speak to us again, only to come with His judgments. Thus we have the blessed purpose of that word of God, the revelation of God, the revelation of whom? Of Himself. The revelation of Himself. Why? because this is life eternal, that they might know thee. And so he reveals himself. He reveals who he is. How does he do this? This is what we wish to consider for a little while in this morning, out of the words of our text, which you can find in the chapter we read to you, Hebrews 1, the little portion of the third verse. Verse 3, only these words, the express image of his person. So far the words of our text, the express image of his person. Thus our theme is the express image of God's person in two thoughts. First, the wonder of this image. And second, the expression in this image. The express image of God's person. First, the wonder of it. And second, the expression in it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is spoken to whom? That is spoken unto the Hebrew Christians, who still clung. We can understand that it was so very difficult for them to leave the way of their religion, which they have practiced for so many years. And they did still cling to all of the ceremonies of the old dispensation. And then the Apostle Paul, he is writing to them, and he is speaking of the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the new dispensation over all of the shadows and the types of the old dispensation. A very valuable and also a divine revelation. Those that were inspired in the revelation in the Old Testament knew also that they were inspired of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue, we read that David says. A divine revelation, and yet it was not a complete revelation. We read, at sundry times and in divers manners. Thus, it was over the space of about 1,000 years that the Old Testament was written. And that was in at sundry times and in divers manners, in different ways. And we see that it is in particular different times, especially in the Old Testament, and that that word was written. And it is testifying to the divinity of the Holy Scriptures. When we consider the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophets, the writings of David, and how that these who are separated by so very many years, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are speaking one language, they are speaking in one tongue, in time past, in the days of Paul, that had begun approximately 1,500 years before the Apostle Paul, the writing of the Scriptures, and it had ended approximately 400 years before his time. And we know that this revelation at sundry times and in divers manners, that is a revelation that was enclosed in types, enclosed in shadows. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Thus, Paul makes a great contrast between the revelation that the Lord has given in the days of the prophets and the revelation that the Lord has given in the days of Christ himself. Hath spoken unto us by his Son. Now, he says, God speaks in a different way. Now God speaks unto us by his Son. Us, that was, of course, the Jews of Paul's time. But then you must see that he is writing of the new dispensation. That is the last dispensation of this world. After this dispensation, there is none other but that of glory. Thus, he says, unto us, that means unto the Jews of that time, but also unto all of those that did follow them. That means also you and I. And he has spoken unto us how? Not in at sundry times and in divers manners, no, but he has spoken unto us by his Son. The Lord Jesus speaks about the parable of the husbandman, and he says that God has sent forth his servants, and some they mistreated and some they killed, and at last he sent unto them his Son. That is, not in at sundry times and in divers manners, no, but he says it is very simple now. That is not by this prophet and that prophet, but it is by his Son himself. And it is not in an incomplete way, but it is in a complete way that he has, as it were, finished the revelation which is to be revealed unto his church by his Father. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. His Son. A Son that is a very special relation. Is it not, children? A daughter or a son to their father, to their mother, that is a very special relation. And now he speaks about the relation between God the Father and his Son, and that it is his Son who is the one who is speaking. And when he is speaking on the behalf of his Father. Thus, the relation between the Father and the Son becomes of great significance. Why? Because there is between the Father and the Son affection. Because there is between the Father and the Son communion. What did Jonathan say to David, children? He said, David, my Father will do nothing, great or small, but he will show it me. Thus Saul communed with his Son, it seems, like in everything that he did. And now, so we have represented to us also in God's word concerning the Son of God. John the Baptist, he says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That word bosom is a word that means a number of things. And one of those things that is a very close communion. We read of the Apostle John and that he lay in the bosom of Christ. That is, that he received a special communion with him. And now it is the Son who is, John says, in the bosom of the Father, that is the object of his affections, but also that may enjoy the most and the most intimate and sweet communion with his Father, to whom may be revealed all of what the Father's decrees and intentions are. The Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Thus, it is a most significant thing that it is the Son who is declaring the Father. Because then if there is anyone who may know the Father, then it is the Son hath spoken and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Thus, the relation, the affection, the intimate communion, but there is more. The Son, he is begotten by the Father. And that Son, because he is begotten by the Father, he also has the same nature as the Father. Like you children, you have a human nature because your father and your mother, they have a human nature. You are begotten of them. Thus, when he says, hath spoken unto us in these last days by his Son, it is not only the affection and the communion, but it is also the begetting and the nature. And Paul speaks of this also here. He says, who, being the brightness of his glory. How we read in the Bible that there is that one star differeth from another star in glory. And the glory of the Son that is so very, very great. But how is it that you and I can receive that glory? We receive the glory of the Son by its brightness. By its brightness, by its light. And that brightness of the Son, that is, as it were, begotten of the Son, that is coming forth of the Son, that brightness of the Son that is of the same nature as the Son. Thus we read, the brightness of his glory. So it is now between the Father and the Son. Paul says, the Son of God, he is the brightness. He is the brightness of his Father's glory. We cannot know the glory of God except it is revealed to us. And it is the Son of God who is the brightness of that glory. He is begotten of him. He is therefore of the same nature as he is. And when we may see the Son of God, then we may enter a little bit into the glory of the Father. Just as when we may see brightness in this world, then we may receive something of the glory of the Son, who is the glory, the brightness of his glory. Thus, spoken unto us by His Son. The affection, the communion, the nature of the Son, being the same as the Father, the Son being begotten by the Father. And now one more thing, and that is the resemblance. The resemblance. Children, did someone ever say to you, "You look like your father," or "You look like your mother"? When you are begotten of your father, of your mother, then you have their nature, but you also have a resemblance to your father, to your mother. Thus, the Apostle Paul says that in these last days, that God, He is not speaking by prophets at sundry times and in divers manners. No, in these last days, that God is speaking to us, great privilege in the last dispensation, that God is speaking to us by His Son, by His very Son, who is in His bosom, who receives communion with Him, who has His nature, who is begotten of Him, and who resembles Him, who looks like Him, who has His likeness, who is, he says, the express image of His person. He calls Him an image. An image. What is an image? An image that is a likeness. An image is not the actuality. No, an image is a representation. So we have a picture of something that is not that something. No, that picture that is a representation. We have those representations also in the church, do we not? From time to time, when we have baptism, then that water is a representation. And the signs and the seals, they are representations. Thus we have, as it were, a picture, a token. They are more, because they are also seals, not only signs, but they are also signs. Then there are mental pictures. We do that now for you too. We draw for you a picture with words, and that picture that is then in your mind. Thus the Bible that is full of pictures. No, not actual pictures, but they are drawn with words, children. Then we find a parable that is a picture and that it means something. So we have an image. We have an image of something. The express image of His person, an image that needs to be accurate. Otherwise, an image that is a lie. When we will make an image of ourselves, we always want that image to be, to look, to be received as better than what it actually is, don't we? But it is really a lie. Ananias and Sapphira, they would like a certain image of themselves to be received by their fellow men. And so they did give before everyone what they did. We want it to look better. And what if it looks worse, that image? Then we are what? We are offended. We are offended. If there is an image of us that is made by someone else, that is what we do when we attack a person's name, congregation, when we destroy their name, that is offensive. Why? Because that breaks down
the image. How is that with the Lord? What man can make of the Lord an image which is truly like him? We cannot comprehend him. We cannot comprehend him. And for that reason, the Lord, he is offended with every image that man would make of him. Why? Because it is of necessity never equal to himself. Cannot be. When man makes an image of him, then it is always an abomination unto him. It is always an offense unto him. Therefore, he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And his anger was kindled against the children of Israel at Sinai when they did make to themselves an image and tried to worship him through that image. Our catechism that says that God neither can nor may be represented by dumb images. And we read in the prophecy of Ezekiel that the Lord showed to Ezekiel what was going on behind the scenes, what the elders, the very elders of the children of Israel were doing. That he says the image of jealousy was set up in the temple of the Lord. An image of jealousy. God, jealous of his own name, jealous of his own honor, cannot be represented by these dumb images. And therefore also pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are also not to be had. They are representations. We do not even know what he looked like. But they are representations of his human nature. They are not even alive. Thus, his divine nature that is left out. What a great responsibility have also the elders in the church for the doctrine that is taught. Why? Because when that doctrine would not be according to the Word of God, then God is not represented as he truly is. Thus, error concerning God, concerning his salvation, that is an abomination unto him. God, he has made his own image. He has made his own image of himself. And when the Lord will make an image of himself, he may do so because he is God. And because he is able to make that image a perfect representation of himself. What do we read in our text? The express image of his person. The exact, the precise image of the person of God. That is, as it were, an exact reflection, beholding as in a glass, face to face. That is, as an impression that is leaving its mark in the seal that is making an impression. leaving its mark, and that impression that is looking precisely as the seal itself, the express image of his person. Why would God want to be so represented with an image of himself? What does the Lord Jesus say? God is a spirit. What does that mean, children? God is a spirit. That means he has no body. And that means he has no soul. None. You say in the Word of God, it says that he has hands, and that he has feet, and that he has eyes, and that he sits on a throne. Yes, that is true. What are they? They are pictures. They are images. They are for us, for our natural understanding, that we may come to some realization of who God is. So, the eyes of God, that speaks about his omniscience, that he sees us wherever that we are. The mind of God, that speaks of his will, that God has a will. The throne of God, that speaks of his sovereignty, that God does as he pleases. But actually, he has no eyes and ears and no hands and no feet and no body and no soul. Thus, Paul, he speaks about the Lord Jesus as the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. The express image of his person. What did Christ say to the Jews? I and my Father are one. Express image. He is called Emmanuel, God with us, as his express image. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. That Word has a purpose. What is the purpose of words? They are to communicate. They are to reveal what I am thinking. Then I speak to you, boys and girls. I speak to you. Then you know what is in my heart, what is in my mind. What is the purpose of the Word of God? God speaks that we may know what is in his heart, what is in his mind. His Son is called the Word. He is called the Logos. He is his revelation. Why? That we may know him. And he is himself, not only the words he spoke, but he is himself the express image of his person to reveal who his Father is. And there is no other way that we may come to the knowledge of God except through the express image of his person. We cannot know it intellectually, and we cannot know it experimentally, except through the express image of his person. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Let us sing first. 241, 3 through 5 and 7. Behold God's truth and grace displayed.
For he has faithful covenant made, and he has sworn that David's son shall ever sit upon his throne. 3, 4, 5, and 7 of 241. Our second thought, the expression in this image. We will ask our boys and girls if they are able to tell us a little bit about how that the Lord leads his people. That is, what are children, some of the first feelings, what are some of the first thoughts, the desires in the heart of a person that can happen when you are young. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you ask for that? What are then our thoughts? What are then our desires? There are new desires. There are new thoughts. Do you know what happens? We begin to miss. We begin to miss home. We begin to miss God. God. Home, who is our Creator, whom we have left, that we can come back unto Him again, into His communion, the knowledge of Him. There is only one solution that has to be experienced in the life of a person, and that solution is in the express image of his person. That is not only in the beginning, you can ask God's children, but Philip said to the Lord Jesus, "Show us the Father. Show us the Father." How is that, people of the Lord? Oh, do you desire also to know something of that blessed communion with the Father? To know something of that blessed relation between the Father and His children? And what did the Lord Jesus answer Philip? He says, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me?" And why? "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Why? Because I am his revelation. Because I am the express image, Philip, of his person. Oh, to see something of him, that is to see something of God, to see something of his Father. And what is the significance? That is that the Son, the knowledge of the Son, that is leading congregation to the knowledge of the Father. And that is the desire of the heart of that people from the beginning of that spiritual life even unto the end. But alas, oh, how hidden so often is that Son. How hidden. That he is only by moments revealed in the life of his children. And when they may come to those moments, that they may be as babes, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. All this is life eternal, that they might know thee, and what is to be known of him that is to be seen in the express image of his person. What now must be known of him? Or what must be experienced of him? We must know his love, congregation, his love that is experienced already in the beginning of that way, but how much more in the express image of his person. What did the Apostle Paul say? He spoke about that love of God. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus his love that is made manifest in the express image of his person. Or we need to know something of that love, to experience something of that love. We need to know something of the demanding righteousness of God. And that may be seen also in that express image of his person. Or if the soul may be given by the Spirit to be brought even to see a little of the mysteries that have taken place in that council of peace, even in the decree of God, for the creation, for the fall, and for the cutting off of the ability of man to fulfill that law of God and to bring in his own righteousness before God, then we can read that the Lord could not let this pass by. He could not let it pass by. But he said, who shall go for us? And then we hear the answer of the Son. Here am I, send me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. O the love of God, the demanding righteousness of God, the unimpeachable justice of God, congregation. How may it be seen? How may it be made known? And that that people, that they may come to know thee, know him. Oh, then they have only to look once in that garden where that express image of God, his sweat is becoming as great drops of blood, and the agony of his soul, in that agony, then he is crying. He is crying unto his Father, O Father, if it be possible that this cup might pass from me. And it was not possible. It was not possible. No, it was not possible. Even though it was his only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, it was not possible. Because he is the express image of God, who is revealing unto his church who that the Father is. And that that Father, he is expressing himself further for the instruction, for the comfort, for the leading of his children. Oh, that he is leading them into his sovereign goodness. Through that express image of his person, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, that sovereign goodness of God,
to be viewed in that express image of his person, that he was willing to receive him as a substitute in the place of his church. Oh, to express in the midst of this fallen world the unfathomable condescension of the heart of God when he has laid his only begotten son in that Bethlehem's manger. Oh, to express to the world who that Father is in his perfect holiness. When what? When he is requiring of his son that he fulfill that whole law of God, and when his son may declare, "Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I have finished it." He had not died on the cross yet. No. And it was done from the beginning of the world, yes. But in a special way, that active obedience, that fulfilling of that law, that is expressed in that express image of his person, the covering righteousness, when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How did he express the satisfaction of his justice? In the resurrection of his son from the dead, who had borne the wrath of God on behalf of his church. Oh, how can he express something of his unlimited power? Oh, see that express image of his person. Do you believe it, young people? That also a man who is dead in sins and in trespasses, which has only desire for the world. You say, if I am honest, I come to this place out of form. I come to this place out of custom. Good custom. Oh, we hope you always will do it. But you say, can God convert me? Oh, look at the express image of his person. You say, will he convert me? Is he willing? He has healed the sick. He has raised the dead. He has cast out devils. He has put away all the devices of the devil. When we are held by the bonds of spiritual death, then it is in the express image of his person that we may see and behold the attributes of God, that our soul may cry to him, or that he may express his unbounding grace. When he did what? Oh, when that express image of his person, he was willing to sit and to eat with publicans and sinners. How may he express something of his unchangeable faithfulness? Oh, when that express image of his person, he receives again a doubting Thomas, a denying Peter, and the Apostle Paul. He may speak of himself, and he says, "The good I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." And yet he says more, "Oh, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" Yea, he says, "It is Christ that died, who is risen from the dead, and who is even at the right hand of God, and who maketh intercession for us." Oh, then he may behold something of that blessed, unchangeable God in that express image of his person. We have to close. Where shall we end? Because there really is, congregation, no end. It is unfathomable. It is endless. Paul says, "Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification." Why? Why? He says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth may glory in the Lord. Oh, see that old Simeon, he waited for the consolation of Israel, and then he saw something. He saw someone in that house of God. Who was it, children? That babe. He has brought there that child. And what did he do? He blessed God. He blessed God. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Why? He says, when I have seen that child, then I have seen thy salvation, because that child, he is the express image of thy person. Oh, and so, the Lord, he does bring forth his praises out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Congregation, the express image of his person. We also were created in his image. What does that mean? It is not as the Son, because in him it is an express image. But we also have received in our creation the communicable attributes of God. And we were created, we read, specifically in his image, in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. Where is it? Where is it? The knowledge of God. What is it now? Ignorance, is it not? Do we not have to be honest and say, Lord, I do not know thee. Not only do not I know thee, but I do not love thee. Righteousness? No, it's rebellion. It's rebellion. Holiness? No, it is wickedness. Really, if we are honest, even if we have a black suit on and a pretty dress, do you know what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes? He says, you are of your father the devil. O congregation, that is the image we bear. We have chosen it, and we have chosen it willingly. But do you know what Paul says? Whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. He has that express image, but Paul says he is to be only the firstborn. That means there are more, and they will bear that image again. Paul speaks of this. He speaks about the new man. The new man that is renewed after the image of him that created him. Is that not a wonder? Would that not be something, young people, if instead of bearing the image of Satan over this world, that we also, in a very small measure, could begin to bear the image of God. Paul says we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed
into that same image from glory to glory. Oh, then that people leave behind an image. They leave behind vanity. They leave behind carnality. They leave behind a worldly heart. They leave behind a sinful heart. And those that have borne with grief and with sorrow for many years in the wilderness of this life, the image of the earthy, they shall begin with joy and with gladness to bear with perfection the image of the heavenly, and that world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us out of thy word? So deeply have we fallen, but could it please thee to restore us again? O, do open unto us that express image of thy person, that we also may come to know thee and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And wilt thou forgive our many sins? And give us an acknowledging heart that thou hast brought us through in this morning hour, and given to us a few words to speak. Bless thy word. Be with thy servant, who hopes to be with us in this afternoon hour. Fill him with a rich measure of thy spirit. Bless us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 450, 1 and 2. Now may thy servant, Lord, according to thy word, depart in exultation. My rest shall be serene, for lo, mine eyes have seen thy wonderful salvation. 1 and 2 of 450. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.